Blog Talk Radio.
You get it?
Not yet. Oh, yep.
Okay. I'm just going to get started. Well, good morning, everybody, or at least good afternoon here in Chicago, Illinois. In this podcast, we had the honor and privilege of interviewing Rafael from Idea Security, but Rafael will be on board here just a little bit, so I guess answering on his behalf will be Melissa Smith. She is the Director of Marketing at Idea, and they have come out with a very good product called Judy. And it's kind of like an end-to-end solution, all-encompassing, and it's great for the small, medium-sized business. And in fact, it's very, very cost-affordable. So let's go ahead and get started. And I guess in Rafael's place, I guess Melissa will be kind of answering ad hoc. So Melissa, welcome aboard. Thanks for your time.
Hi, Robbie. So nice to be here. I just actually heard from Rafael, and he's on hold, so he's ready to join us. If you can put him on.
Okay. Hello, Rafael.
Hey, Robbie. How are you?
Good. How are you? Okay. We got the real person. Okay. Cool. Let's go ahead and get started. Rafael, we looked up your bio, and you seem to have a very deep and rich background in cybersecurity. Can you tell us the highlights of your career, kind of like what got you started, interested in cybersecurity, and kind of how you got to where you're at today?
Yeah, I kind of fell into it, actually. So I started this little company that was a point product called McAfee under Network General. That's a way to date myself. And I started selling into the government space. And it's interesting because at that time I really didn't understand what I was getting into. But to be part of a company where you feel like you're doing something and it's protecting organizations has always been this this reason why I continued on. And after McAfee went to FireEye, and then after FireEye went to Duo. So over 25 years in cybersecurity, and I enjoy the people that work in cybersecurity as well as how we're enabling customers or solving a puzzle. So it's definitely always a puzzle to see what's the next vulnerability or the next technology that's bubbling up.
Excellent. Now, how did you venture into Idea? And I guess another question before that is, how did you get the name Idea? Is that just another, like maybe another way of saying idea, or can you tell us about that?
So Idea came from a napkin idea. I was Googling, I said if I was going to start a company, what would I name the company? The first two letters are the initials of my daughters, so Alessandra and Aniela. The D is capitalized because I knew I wanted to be headquartered in Detroit. And then I honestly just started Googling, Robbie, and said, what name is out there that has AAD? And I found it's pronounced Adia if you're in the Middle East or Latin America based on the spelling that you're seeing. But when I started playing around with this and knowing we wanted to be a cybersecurity company, we decided to go ahead and change the enunciation, which is Adia, but keep that cool look of how it's spelled, as well as the dots that are associated to our logo, which is also just me doodling about the people that were important to me in life, and that's how the logo came to life.
Wow, that's really innovative and creative. Wow, congratulations. Now, how did you venture into Adia?
After 25 years in cybersecurity, what I saw is that, yes, there are 3,500 point products out there that are amazing. They all geared towards the enterprise. And I always thought if you could find a way to automate a lot of the complexity that an enterprise company can manage through hiring very large security teams, you could really take things to another level for small businesses. So I have many friends that still sell into the enterprise space. It's a saturated market. There's a lot of amazing products. Now that we're 4 years into this, we do know that small businesses are the underserved market. They can't afford those tool sets. They don't want to or can't even hire large teams. And so that's how we embarked on our design of our all-in-one solution 3 years ago. And then since I have deployed a lot of software as CIO, we didn't want to build it in a silo. So we made sure that we brought on design partners that were small businesses from one employee up to 250 employees in our first year, and really were microscopic in listening to them and now our partners on what would enable them to not only have a good security posture, but want to leverage the tool set that we were building. And that's how we came up with Judy.
Excellent. How long has IDEA been in business?
IDEA has been in business for, it'll be 4 years in March. So it's been an exciting time. And we're proudly headquartered from Detroit, Michigan, but now actually selling in multiple countries around the globe.
Oh, wow. Wow, okay. Awesome. Now, does IDEA have a presence in other countries as well? You just mentioned that you sell to other countries. Do you have office locations in other countries?
We don't. We are definitely all in on channel partners, and that's what's another benefit of working with the channel partners. We love the channel. So we've partnered with a couple of channel organizations in Australia, Singapore, the UK, and South Africa, and now have Judy also deployed there through their customers. So the channel is critical to our business. We very much want to make sure that they are enabled in a way that not only allows them to trust that the software that they're deploying is one that is next generation and will protect their small business customers as well as an enterprise customer would be with those point products, but also that they're making money and that our program is collaborative. So we really listen to our partners to ensure that we're driving towards either design programs or even pricing that can work in their respective markets.
Excellent. Now, who's your typical customer base that you're trying to target? Is, I mean, obviously the SMBs, but in addition to that, do you try to go for like the Fortune 500, federal government, local governments, anything like of that nature?
Yeah, so we're seeing all types of verticals. I would say the biggest item for anyone that is a partner or a customer is, where's your revenue come from? We're now seeing on almost every single conversation, it's tied to some form of compliance framework, which means that the revenue is coming from the enterprise, government agencies, universities, or hospitals as examples. Those organizations know that a breach can come from those outside companies that they work with, and majority of them are small businesses. So we are seeing, and we do have customers in our portfolio that are part of the federal government or support the federal government. We see law firms, CPAs, marketing companies, startups, a lot of VCs because they're handling a lot of money and LP information. So really, there isn't one specific vertical. It's more along the lines of really any SMB customer that is between 1 and 2,500 employees for that top end of the mid-market space. Judy actually works and works successfully, and it enables them in a way to map it back to their compliance framework. Or the other area that we're seeing bubbling up with the partners that are bringing customers forward is cybersecurity insurance. They have to have what's in Judy to get cybersecurity insurance if they want the right, a lower cost on the, their premium.
I got you right. Okay, I know a lot of insurance carriers are not really ratcheting up the requirements for SMBs, you know, to get you know, cyber insurance. But anyway, let's do a deeper dive into Judy. Is this a product that's available in the cloud? Is it on-prem? Or can you tell us more about it? Or about her?
Yeah, so Sure, absolutely. So Judy includes DNS filtering, password manager, single sign-on, as well as we have a SIM integration, cybersecurity library, and automated compliance framework. So that complete solution is being managed by Judy, which with her AI and machine learning. That machine learning is driving a lot of the automation so that they do have a virtual cybersecurity assistant and are able to map back to those compliance frameworks or even insurance based on each of those pillars.
Okay. Now, can you tell us more about the technological architecture that you use for Judy? You mentioned AI and machine learning, but is there anything else that it uses, or can you do a little bit of a deeper dive into the AI and ML that you use? Or?
Absolutely, and I forgot to answer the second part of your question. My apologies. So Judy is cloud-based. It's a cert-to-cert communication, and as well as, like, example for her password vault, everything is hashtagged on the device, so we do not bring back that information to Adea. She is scanning the device with our endpoint, which has a mix of hashtags and EDR. There again, she only brings back the OS layer and the device information. She does not bring back what's on your hard drive, but she is able to remediate at the endpoint, and that is for ransomware, MITRE attacks, and spyware. For machine learning, has big components that are driving a lot of the automation for when a user, think of it this way, they go to a new website, Judy sees you logging in. She will actually capture your logging information. She will also guide you that password you're using may not be strong enough, or that when you're creating the password, you should use a stronger password. So that's like one way of showing you how her machine learning is guiding the user real time, just in password vault and EDR. There is an agent that the user would download. The cool part about how we're driven by partners is that the customer's design is that the partner or even a customer has the ability to go ahead and provision their tenant on their own without having to contact us and then actually send the logins to their users via an email notification that has Judy as a software download. That download takes 30 seconds to add all of those pillars that I've described, and then the user just logs in. And now Judy's kicking off in the background with her machine learning to start the scans on the device to level set everything, as well as ensure there's not anything there already.
Wow. That's pretty powerful. Anyway, so how do your services protect email? Would you say that Judy's just about as comparable or even better than like the Norton antivirus or Webroot software packages that can scan for email?
Absolutely. So she's much further advanced with her machine learning. And so when a user is actually leveraging their Microsoft or Google, she will scan any of the email addresses as well as any links in the email and will immediately flag it if it's a phishing, ransomware, or bot. So, and she's looking down to the DNS layer. So was it really at adea.com that the email from Rafael came from, or was it a mocked email that looked like Rafael Matone and it really was at some routing email system where a hacker is behaving and trying to engage with Rafael's team to get them to send money or click on a link? So she's scanning all the information that you're seeing that has a link or email, as I mentioned, in the email address. When you click through and it opens a browser to a web address, there again, she's looking at the DNS layer and will block any malicious sites so that the user doesn't – and drops down a message letting the user know not to proceed. And so she's doing all of the components you would want to scan – for email addresses within your emails and links, as well as when you click through or type into the browser, because again, most small businesses are cloud-based. So she's not stopping email inbound. But she can start to clean up, and we've heard this from customers, a lot of spam, and as well as block a lot of phishing attempts that would normally get through, because users are tired of having to try to remember the 20 things they should do before they open an email or click through on a link. It's just not humanly possible with the volume that we're all seeing, especially with remote, and Judy takes that all away.
Wow. That is really sweet. Now, tell us more about mobile security. How is Judy playing for that? Because with the remote workforce, you know, there's always a risk of BYOD. So can Judy help prevent that from actually happening, or can you walk us through that scenario?
Yeah, so it's really up to the organization. Judy can function on corporate devices or BYOD. So we have some companies where they haven't grown enough yet, and so, yes, they're asking their employees to bring in their devices, or they work with outside consulting firms, and they bring their devices. That's kind of more of a policy thing for the company. But, yes, Judy can run on corporate or BYOD devices. We actually encourage it, and the way we encourage it is that if, Ravi, you have 10 devices that you use, whether corporate or personal, we only charge per user unlimited devices. Again, that's an alignment to how SMBs to work as well as how their budgets work. So if you have 10 devices, it's still one price per user. If I have 20 devices, it's the same price per user. We do encourage, because of the world that we're in, where people are remote, we live in multiple systems. We kind of cross-blend our personal and our corporate, no matter how much we might say we don't, that, yes, they put Judy on each of the devices that they're accessing your network, your software, or interacting with you on your corporate email address.
Okay, excellent. Now, can you tell us more about Adya Security? How is this made as a service?
I'm sorry, what was that last part? You broke up a little bit.
How exactly is this made as a service, as a SaaS platform offering, the Adya Security?
I'm so sorry, Ravi. I still didn't get that first part. How is the SaaS services?
Your Adya Security platform, how is this made as a service on demand?
So the platform is, I mean, it's just... Sorry, I still don't think I understand the question. On demand, as in like a partner, or when the customer is wanting to move forward?
I know. How is
sorry,
it,
there's a beeping.
Is there, okay, now, with Adya Security, is there like a, is it made as a service available in the cloud, or is it something that's on-prem, or how does that work exactly?
Oh, no, this is all cloud-based. There's nothing on-prem unless they want to deploy the SIM portion, which we partnered through Securonix. At that point, we would be connecting to their network either through their routers or, you know, any servers that they have, so that we can go ahead and collect the logs and ensure that our SOC team is able to complement customers or any partners, as well as their extended SOC team, which we see as you start to go up in employee sizes, there's usually an IT or SOC team at customer organizations as well. But it's all cloud-based. Even the SIM tool is just a RIN on the device, so there's no hardware that has to be installed on the network.
Okay, excellent. Now, can you tell us more about your authentication services? Are you planning to use biometrics in this aspect?
We are. So the login right now is email and password with two-factor. Over the next quarter, we are going to introduce biometric as well as four-digit and a push to your phone so that we can get this the small businesses that passwordless design that other providers are currently providing today to the enterprise. So biometric, four-digit, and the push to your phone with a approval for login and it being passwordless is what the engineering team is working right now, and we should see that over the next 60 days.
I'm a little bit, I'm interested about the biometrics component. When I first got started in security, it was in the biometrics area. Have you thought of what kind of biometric modalities might work well with Judy, or it's still kind of in flux right now?
Kind of in flux right now, and I think when people say biometric, it's there's many different variations, right? Especially as technology evolves. So I think it really is, it's changing a lot. So it really would come down to, I think, what would a small business owner like, and how does that phone or the device that they're using enable that if the technology is there? We do see with a lot of small businesses that, you know, they're cost effective. So sometimes their devices are as further advanced as what, you know, a tech company that's switching out systems every year might have on their laptops, as an example. So really, I think we're always going to live in this world where there are three different options. Do you want to use a login? Do you want to use the four-digit or biometric? And then, yes, do you want to use your phone? Because even there, we have customers on right now that they can't use their phone, like a hospital when they're in the waiting room. So how do you enable them so that they can still leverage the application but not have to leverage their phone?
Okay, excellent. And I guess these two questions we could probably put as one. You know, the world today now is really worried about, you know, like spoofed websites, domain name heisting, you know, going clicking on malicious links. And I guess it all happened. A lot of it was triggered because of COVID-19. How does Judy work with web server security? And in that regard, what makes your SSL certificate different from others that are out there?
Yeah, so she's looking at the DNS layer when you're on the browser. So she has a browser plugin. As you're going to different websites or clicking through to websites, she will flag it at the DNS, because she's checking at the DNS layer whether or not that is an actual website or something that is driving you, that may have looked like a Chase bank account website, but it's not. It's driving you to a malicious site. That's where her messaging drops down and blocks the user so that they don't have to worry about it. The actual way that, because we are cloud-based, everything is happening as a cert-to-cert communication in the cloud. So, again, there's not really, it's a browser-based plugin that allows her to scan and ensure that you don't end up in the wrong place, and then worse yet, put your information in there so that it obviously can be leveraged by a hacker to get in like bank accounts or anything else. So that seamless scan that she does in the plugin protects the SMB customer from landing on any of those sites.
Okay, excellent. Now, you use, I'm assuming, GlobalSign as your vendor for the SSL certificates. How many have they issued to you so far?
How many have they issued?
How many total SSL certificates has GlobalSign issued to you as an entity for Judy?
I really am not sure yet on that one, Ravi. I'll have to get back with you on it.
Yeah, sure. Whenever, we'll get that up there then. Now, what kind of cryptographic algorithms do you use? I know there are tons of them out there, but are there any special ones that you make use of? Or?
We do, but it would probably not be.
That'll be your
bread butter,
right?
There's a lot of ones out there. I think what I would say is we have a deep bench of security experts that have worked at those companies that I worked at, as well as the federal government. What you will see is we transform all of the data, encrypt it, and even put it behind different things to ensure that when Judy is communicating with the endpoint or the browser, it is at the same grade as any of those other software companies that are doing the same. And we're so confident of it. As I mentioned, we do have federal customers that are actually gone through CMMC as an example, and it's checked all the boxes.
Okay, excellent. Now, Has the DIA, have you dealt with ransomware, BEC, you know, crypto jacking, crypto mining, some of the most common threat variants of today?
We have. We've seen it. We've either seen it when Judy does the initial scan on the device when the customer first onboards, or that she's blocking it with her remediation rules. So right now, as an example, we're averaging about 3 million scans a day.
Wow.
I think yesterday's range was that she blocked or remediated around 1,600 different vulnerabilities, either at the endpoint or the DNS. So it just signals that the days of people thinking, whether it was the companies that were selling cybersecurity or those having to leverage it, that small businesses weren't being breached or attacked, is very dated. They are. It's because they have very lucrative information or they're connected to very lucrative companies or individuals that could easily allow a hacker to get to another level. So I think that we're going to see more of this, and that number is low right now, but we're going to see much bigger numbers of customers, unfortunately, get breached or have to look at things differently, even in their business models, because of how quickly the cyber war is taking off. It's drastically changed in less than 1 year.
Right.
And all of us that have been in cybersecurity for the last 25 years are seeing for the first time a different type of attack. It's not your normal, hey, I just released a virus and let's see what happens. These are very coordinated attacks that are happening on all businesses, but also small businesses.
Now, have you had clients that were attacked, but the threat actor was in there for so long that they just went unnoticed? I know it's a new trend right now, where like the cyber attacker will penetrate into a vulnerability or into a back door and stay for a long period of time and literally exfiltrate that data bit by bit until it's too late to do anything about it. Have you came across anything like that with any of your clients?
We have. You see it in ransomware and MITRE attacks. So they could have clicked on something 6 months ago. The hackers are getting pretty good right now. Don't launch it immediately. Put a clock on it or put a slow drip, as you're describing, and let it pull information so slowly that no one notices or it deteriorates something. We had a company that we're, you know, potentially working with and talked about how a government organization that they worked with had gotten a ransom attack, but it didn't kick off until 6 months after it had already gotten into their entire network. So I don't think you're going to see the same consistency on how these attacks work, because keeping it dynamic or different dates that they launch is actually an advantage to them. And then it goes unnoticed by the company, and especially if they don't have tool sets in place that can find them at a minimum versus remediate like Judy does.
Now, do you have any customer success stories that you can share with us to kind of highlight how well Judy really is doing out there in the field?
Yeah, I mean, one, our customers love our customer success team, so they're amazing. They're very interactive. They very much partner with the partners or the customers in a way that we understand this might be the first time they're dealing with some of these tool sets, and it's okay to ask questions or ask for help. That's part of our core of our culture, is to make sure that our customer success team is very much there to enable and protect and help learn the organization, whether it's a front-end user or their IT team. I would say what's great about that and why we get so many great reviews from our customers and our partners, we also own things that maybe don't necessarily align to what's in Judy. So if we see that customer's struggling with something, but we know it's going to be a security risk, we still jump in and try to help either the partner or the customer. So, yeah, there are daily email notifications coming in from our customers or our partners where they will tell you they love working with our customer success team because we have differentiated ourselves in wanting to really help SMB. So what I mean by that is sometimes when you go to other products or companies, if you're below a certain number of employees, the only way you can engage with a CS team is via chat on their website, or you have to wait in a long queue, and then you're told that maybe you didn't purchase the right software package for support. We take that all away. We treat each organization as if they're the same size, and there is no hidden cost on support or how our CS team would or wouldn't help you. We're just all in, and we definitely want to help these small businesses that usually couldn't get help from others around cybersecurity.
Excellent. Now, Rafael, there are 2,000 cyber vendors out there, maybe even more than that. What separates Adia from the other vendors in the crowd here? So, in other words, why should I come to you and say, Rafael, I want Judy on my computer, which I think is good because I want it. What's your differentiating mark with all these other 2,000 vendors? In other words, why should I come to you first?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you look at the Momentum report, there's actually 3,500 point products and companies out there now. So I think what you'll see is 95% of them, Ravi, focus on the enterprise, and there's nothing wrong with that. I used to be in some amazing companies that have amazing enterprise products. I think if you're a small business, you will see there's a very small list of us that have built a product around how they would use it and still protects them, as well as is it a price that they can afford. So Adia is very much a unique company in the sea of cybersecurity point products that are out there. And then for, you know, as we mentioned earlier on the call, we're only focused on small business, and that should be a great indicator for anyone that's looking for cybersecurity tools or someone to partner with, because it's designed for you. It's not a watered-down version of an enterprise product, and it's not a reconfigured enterprise product that might miss some of the things that you generally need because your data set, your systems, your employees are functioning the same way in this new world as the enterprise. So that's our argument on why you should pick Adia to any customer or partners, and it's resonating. We're seeing it on a day-to-day basis as partners and customers come in and tell us that we are different and in a good way.
Oh, that's awesome. It's incredible. Now, do you offer any free trials or any free risk assessments for Judy for, like, you know, like a 3-day time period or something? Or
we do. If you go to our website, there's a freemium button. Customers can click on that and try Judy for 30 days. It's our Judy essential package, so it does not include the SIM tool, but it does give you all of the other components that you're needing to take a test drive, see how it works in your lab or with your team. And then, yes, our hope is after 30 days, you'll convert over and be one of our customers.
Excellent. Now, you've alluded to a lot about, you know, our strategic partners and so forth. How much of your sales channel is devoted to actually using partners versus, like, doing your own in-house inside sales, or is it exclusively all 100% partner-based Adia?
We are absolutely partner-based. I don't know what percentage, and this is the only reason why. As you know, small businesses sometimes don't want to work with partners. So if they want to order on our website directly, they can. If they come in as a lead or engage with us directly, we do ask if they have a partner to work with. And we try to make, if they don't, we ask if they want to work with one of our partners. So we are 100% partner. Our leader of the organization is a senior director of channel, Ryan. We have CAM, so channel account managers, There's no one in our company that's an inside sales rep or a sales executive because, again, we're not taking deals directly. So long way of answering your question, we're all in on channel partners. We love working with anyone that we can enable through their organization to sell Judy and make a lot of money. So we see a lot of MSPs, MSSPs, virtual consultants or CISOs are probably the three biggest categories that fall into our partner program right now. But yeah, we're starting to see some OEM and ISPs as well bubble up that are saying, Judy's hitting the mark for small businesses and we want to work with you as well. So definitely over 90%, but I will say that there's always going to be that potential direct customer that's small and just wants to put a credit card down. They can do that on our website, but if they don't, we do encourage them to work with one of our partners.
Excellent. Well, I like that model. Nice, simple, and easy to use, right? It's very nice. Now, we did talk about the federal government before, I believe. But now, when it comes to other things like data privacy laws, like GDPR, CCPA, and even CMMC, these defense contractors, they have to already show that they're using something in place to protect their data sets. Have any of these kinds of companies come to you to use Judy in an aspect to like help come into compliance with these laws?
Yeah, so compliance is Judy has automated all of the compliance frameworks that are the major ones in the U.S. So absolutely, we've already had customers that have gone through audit. Those are CMMC, level 1, 2, 3, and 4. We have customers that have already leveraged Judy for those compliance frameworks. We have HIPAA, SOC 1, SOC 2, NIST, PCI. So our compliance framework is automated in Judy, not only in the sense that she can deliver the reports that you would need for an auditor to review logical access or data flows from your systems. That's all been automated. And then the cool part about Judy is we looked at how a compliance framework in her dashboard could automate not only the IT and security portion, but also those soft rules that are tied to compliance like HR, legal, that will complete, as an example, your PCI compliance framework, and the auditors can go into our dashboard as well, either external or those that you might have in-house, and review everything to see how you're trending towards PCI compliance, as an example, and it's basically red, yellow, green, and trying to get above 75%, right, your compliance framework. The other cool part is you can set reminders, you can assign it to other team members, you can assign it to partners. But, yeah, compliance is a huge part of Judy, and it's the driver of Judy for SMB because they are being asked to be compliant in all those that I've mentioned because they're supporting enterprise, government, or healthcare industries.
Wow. Rafael, I've got to be honest, the first time I've heard about a product or service actually being so all-encompassing for all the all these laws and regulations, my hat's off to you. It's incredible. Okay. So now, what are your general plans of expansion for your business? Are you planning to offer new products or services or maybe do more enhancements to Judy, perhaps penetrate other markets overseas, or what are your thoughts in general?
Yeah, we're going to double down on what's in Judy today. We need to continue to invest on design changes that have come out of our customers and our partners. This excites us. We listen diligently. We have an amazing engineering team that will listen to customers and partners, and as long as it will improve something for the masses, we're all in, and we have a good feedback loop that we continue to collect on a quarterly basis and ensure that we start to get those changes in. I think what you'll see is Judy is 100% English, and we know the rest of the globe isn't based on the companies that many of us have worked at. So towards the end of the year or early next year, we do have to do local language, not only in the product, but on our websites, our collaterals. That's kind of a heavy lift. even if we do go through partners. So we will continue to expand in countries we already have where English is acceptable, not only in our collateral, our website, and the product. But when it comes to those other local, you know, there's seven languages that you have to fundamentally be compliant with as you start to go global. We will start to begin on those probably at the end of the year or beginning of next year and ensure we start to roll those out, which will lead into continuing to roll out globally into different markets. I think between those two, I'm one of a less is more, doubling down on what we've already built and continuing to make it awesome and then going global. That's going to be a big lift, but one that we're ready for and really our focus for the next year.
Well, that's awesome. Now, Rafael, forgive me if I asked before, how did you get the name Judy? I mean, there are other names you could have obviously picked, but how did Judy become like the final choice for your product?
Oh, Robbie, we went through a lot on that one in the first 6 months.
Well, tell me.
We knew it was going to be AI and machine learning. No, this is a great question. We knew there was going to be I'm going to use the terminology it for right now. It was going to be AI and machine learning. We had those design partners that we talked about. There were 15 of them. And we went to them and said, if we were going to name this AI machine learning, would you pick a male name or a female name? And they immediately all said female. They do not trust the male persona because it's been overused in cybersecurity. Think about it. The hoodie with no face and the shield and this male persona of trying to put fear into the marketplace. Nothing wrong with it, but they were immediately all no. So then we started looking at female names, and we tried so many of them, and it didn't work. We even tried a version of an Italian name on how you would say the date we were founded. That didn't work. So we went back to the drawing board and really came back to two names. And here's the story behind that. Before creating Adea, I lost two amazing women in my life. One was a coworker, and one was more of that motherly figure that really watched over us when I was younger. And between the two, we put out Stacy and Judy. And when those two names were presented to the customers, they loved both names. They all gravitated towards Judy. They all started talking about Judy with this warmth that we all think about when we hear the name Judy. Judy Garland, Judy's a grandmother, aunt, or niece. Judy Jetson, there's all these components on Judy, and surprisingly enough, when we talked to our patent attorneys, there was no Judy that had been really used the way we were using it, and we were able to even trademark Judy. So that is how the word or name Judy came, and what's great is now that we have hundreds of customers on with thousands of users, to hear the way they're talking about her and this persona that is a strong woman, knows everything that's going on, but wants to be helpful, it puts the biggest smile on all of our faces because every conversation that our CS team, our partners, they're all talking about Judy, and she's a person. So, you know, I logged into Judy yesterday, and she was really helpful. She helped me create a strong password. Hey, I was looking in the logs, and Judy pointed out there was a vulnerability on this one system. So she is the heart of everything, and you'll see in our revamp of our brand that she now even has an image associated to her of that persona, as well as the heart, which has always been the core of our company, and showing that she is the heart of the not only Adea, but the organizations that she goes into to protect.
Wow, that's awesome. That's incredible. Okay. Now, as we start to wrap up our show here, I can probably put these two questions into one here. What do you think the biggest cyber threat will be this year in 2022? Now, obviously, you know, COVID changed a lot of things. The political situation in Europe changed things. And given all that in mind, how do you foresee the threat landscape changing this year and perhaps even going into next year?
I think the biggest threat as it aligns to SMB is doing nothing. I get it. It was big, scary, big products, big price tags. We have to encourage, educate, and even enable small businesses to really get something, whether it's Judy or something else. We really need them to start understanding that because of their employee size, they are vulnerable. The employee size has no relevance anymore. The way that these attacks or the cyber warfare is starting to shape up, it is going out to everyone. We just may not know it. I think this is going to continue to intensify. I don't like fear, but I also want to be realistic. There's such a divide in the world right now that it is easy with the amount of technology out there and the connectivity to Wi-Fi for anyone to be disruptive. And we saw that last summer where they were testing it. So the ferry company, the boats were out of commission for 24 hours, water supplies, the oil company, the beef packing plant in the West Coast. That's just kind of them testing the waters. And I do feel, and many of us that are in cybersecurity know, when you test like that, it's just the tip of the iceberg. So I'm not saying we can't protect ourselves or protect SMBs. It's just going to be a very rocky road over the next 2 years for everyone, regardless of how big or small that they are. And I think that we know we're seeing it because it's happening every day now with the announcements you see on the news. And here's the thing. When you see something on the news, it's usually 3 to 6 months after the company knew about it, because they want to make sure that they scan all their customers. They want to understand. They might be working with federal agents or local law enforcement, as well as global countries, to figure out what's going on, where it's coming from, and that takes time. So even there, when we see something on the press, it's usually a couple months or even 6 months after it's happened. But yeah, it's happening daily, and that's not going to go away.
Yeah, excellent. Now, and one more thing I want to ask you. So what do you tell people to protect themselves? So, for example, what do you tell friends and family and ask, hey, Raphael, what's your top 10 laundry list of how to protect myself? You know, of course, there's MFA, you know, use password manager, firewall, blah, blah, blah. But do you have your own unique list that you kind of come up with to tell people what to do to help mitigate that risk of becoming a victim of a cyber attack?
On a personal level, for family, yeah, there's like top five. One, stop forwarding the joke emails. They're riddled with ransomware viruses. And if you want to tell a joke, call one of us, and we'll absolutely listen to it. So that's kind of the first one. Social media, I don't think people realize all those quizzes they're taking, a lot of them are just a front end to something else leading into gathering your information. So even there, I would be careful. You know, you talked earlier about, hey, when I click on a link and it takes me to a malicious browser or site, how does Judy protect you? Well, when you're on one of those social media platforms and you take one of those quizzes, remember, it's taking you to a malicious site where they're gathering information. And yeah, it gives you a cool answer on whether or not you like pink or purple, or if you know, your favorite Brady Bunch character is who you reflect towards, or what any of those, you know, quizzes are doing, you shouldn't do them. You know, and then don't forget about your kids. They're playing on a lot of devices, and there are a lot of people, including myself, you know, that have small children and go, God, I forgot that they're on our iPad playing Roblox or Minecraft, and I need to do the correct settings to ensure that they're not interacting with someone that's trying to gather information or do something that might be inappropriate. So those are the three areas I think through and talk through about the how. And then I always tell, you know, for the last two, I said there was five. The fourth one is, if it doesn't sound right, when you're getting a phone call from an energy, you know, your local electric company, or, you know, they sent you a text, don't click on it. Call the organization and see if it was really them that sent that to you. There's a lot of phishing going on right now with texting. So Amazon, electric companies, your bank account, it's very rare that they would send you a text. And if you really believe it's them and your but your gut isn't sure, call them and go to their website directly and get the phone number. Even there, don't use the phone number that's in the message because it's likely routed to a call center where they are trying to get your information. And then the last one's tax season. Do not give your Social Security number to anyone over the phone ever or your bank account. Even if they say they're the IRS, they would never call you and ask for that information. So those are the five, right, Ravi, when it comes to personal and family, on how to protect themselves. And yes, they should use tools, right, or lock down their credit reports and all those things. But those are the five basics that I always talk to friends and family about.
Yeah, it's interesting because even just getting snail mail, even that could be spoofed. I can give you an example. A couple of years ago, me and my wife, we got a letter from the IRS and saying that you're going to be getting a tax refund. I'm going, how did this happen? You know, we owed that year, and 2 weeks later we got the check, and I knew something wasn't right. So I held on to it, and eventually the IRS came back saying, well, we want our money back now because there was a mistake that we had made, now we want it back. And I'm going, okay, good thing I didn't cash it. But, you know, so I called the IRS, and they said, yeah, that's really from us. It wasn't any phishing thing or anything like that, but it was just so real, you know. It was that, and there have been even a couple of times, too. I've almost been almost duped by a PayPal phishing email also. In fact, one time I did make a purchase, and like 5 minutes later I got a call, I got an email saying, well, there's something wrong with the purchase. I went, what? So I immediately called PayPal, and they said, no, we didn't send anything. And I just changed my password like within the next 2 seconds. It's right. Even from Amazon, I get so many phishing emails and everything from Amazon, this, that. It's just, it's too much sometimes. But even people like us, Rafael, I think we can get duped every once in a while, too. It's just so real what's happening out there. But anyway, as we wrap up our show here, Rafael, what is the best way for a prospect, existing customer, or even someone who wants to get the free trial, how do they contact you? I've got to be honest with you. The Judy, she is probably about one of the most best, okay, that's probably not the right way to use it. She's probably the best product I've ever heard of for SMBs. I've been podcasting, you know, for, what, 7 years, 8 years now, and I've been in the writing, cyber writing business for over 13 years now, and this is the one product that really, really, I think, stands out in my mind of being the best of anyone that I've talked to about their own products or solutions. So I just want to give my congratulations on that. And also really heavily addressing the SMB market. That's such an underserved market. So my hat's off to you and your team for doing such a wonderful job on that. But, yeah, what is the best way for someone to get a hold of you?
Well, thank you for that. We always appreciate kudos is what we call it at ADEA. So the team's probably listening, and I really appreciate that, Ravi. That means a lot to them. And, yeah, it's a really cool thing that we're doing, and Judy's leading the way. On how they can get a hold of us or track us down, it's pretty simple. meetjudy.ai, and that will take you to our website, and you'll be able to see where you can buy or even get the freemium. So it's that simple. meetjudy.ai, and that will take us to our site, and one of our awesome team members will help you if you need any help.
That's excellent. Wow. Okay, Rafael, well, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. We hope to have you again on a future podcast. Maybe we can talk more about Judy and maybe give a specific case study from a customer, obviously not giving any names out as to how it really worked and how it really benefited them. That'd be awesome.
That would be great. I'd be happy to be back again. Thank you so much for having me here today, Ravi. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Our honor to have you on board. Thank you so much.